We understood that we were lost sinners and we needed that cross. The only way to heaven, the only way of mercy, was the way of the cross. And we felt compelled. We were drawn to take up that very cross of the Lord Jesus. And that is what makes every man a Christian. You're not a Christian until you are a cross bearer, until you are identified with, and that you plead the very work of the Lord's death and blood and suffering at Calvary. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Today we're coming to Simon of Cyrene bearing the cross of the Lord Jesus. What a terrible sight as we think of the Lord under the weight of that cross, going along the narrow street, the Via della Dolorosa, out through the north gate toward Calvary, bearing that heavy cross, stumbling as he went, until he could go no further. And then they compelled Simon to bear that cross for the Lord Jesus. That's our message today. And indeed, we all are called to be cross bearers. And that's the message we want to set before you. So stay tuned with us as we let the Bible speak here today. We have a hymn, Keep Me Near the Cross. But firstly, let me just talk to you a little about the Lord God providing the Lord Jesus as our substitute. He became the Lamb of God, the sacrificial sin bearer. And it was God who permitted a substitute. He sent his Son and provided him to be our Savior. And substitutionary atonement, or sin-bearing for others, is the central truth in our redemption. That is the key that you must get a hold of to unlock the door of the gospel that you may enter into heaven. We need to know that all our sins were laid on Jesus. He was the perfect Savior to bear them away. He was God's Lamb. He was God's perfect sin remover from off the souls of his people. In Isaiah 53 and verse 5, we have, and the iniquity of us all was laid upon him. And God found a way to save my soul through his own Son. We have nothing to fear about the qualifications of the Savior, nor the legality of his office. For Jehovah, the Almighty Judge of all the earth, appointed him to suffer in our place. God made him to be sin for us. And God the Judge chose the Lord Jesus to be the sin bearer. The load of man's guilt was laid on him. Therefore, a believer in Jesus can say, all my guilt, all my curse, all my condemnation, all my hell was transferred to the body of Jesus when he became a curse for me. And that's the Bible's message. Christ became a curse for us who knew no curse. And by his death, we are redeemed. Stay tuned as we come to the hymn, Keep Me Near the Cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring, it seems, before. It shadows
We come today to this man, Simon of Cyrene, and perhaps we will look at the text, Matthew 27 and verse 32. Matthew 27 and verse 32. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they called to bear his cross. I wish that today I could speak to you and describe to you the very nature of that cross which is recorded right here. It was, of course, at first being carried by our Lord Jesus out through those narrow passageways to the northern gate of the city, now called the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. Now, our Lord Jesus began to carry the cross, but then stumbled under its weight. And then they grasped, it seemed, just any man out of the crowd and commanded him to carry that cross. Now, the Roman gibbet was in many shapes and forms, and there's always some question on exactly what shape it was. Some say it was a heavy piece of lumber with a crossbar high up where the sign that was posted above the head of the victim. Others say that that crossbar was for the feet. However, it certainly made it an ugly, awkward thing to carry. And this carrying of the cross out through the street was a very difficult manner. Now, Roman soldiers would never carry a cross. Rather than taking it up or assisting the person on their way, they would compel someone out of the crowd. And so the Roman soldier's hands fell upon this Simon. He was Cyrenian. His home was in North Africa. Today it's called Libya, away up there on the northern coast of Africa. He was in the city. He was just minding his own business. He was passing by, we are told, when the Roman soldier grasped him and laid the cross right upon his body. Now, on this day, the Romans were in a hurry. Normally, by Roman law, a victim who is to be executed had 10 days between the sentence and the execution. But all of that was done away with, and our Lord Jesus hardly had 10 minutes from Pilate spoke the word until he was on his way out through the city streets. Plus, the Jews were in a hurry because, according to their custom, any criminal that was hanging on a tree after sunset would bring a curse upon them and might even be a hindrance to their Passover. And so in their rush, they could not allow the Lord, who was weakened for all the reasons of his sleepless night, torment, flagellation, loss of blood, bearing that cross, however hard he tried, however he inched it along, everyone was in such a hurry. It might have been that Simon of Cyrene was firstly asked to just carry one end of the cross. It might have been that the Lord was still doing his part. I notice that Luke says that he might bear it after Jesus. And so there you can see, however it was, Jesus without the cross or Jesus bearing part of the cross, you can see this Simon of Cyrene walking in the very footsteps of the Lord Jesus out through that street, out through the gate, up the hill to Golgotha. At any rate, Simon was forced to be a cross bearer. Now, cross bearing is a very big theme in the Christian gospel. All men who call themselves Christians or disciples of the Lord Jesus are bidden to take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus. A poet has written this: "Shall Simon bear the cross alone and all the rest go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for you and me." Mr. Spurgeon said that Christ exempts us from sin, but never from sorrow. And if you call yourself a Christian today, you are in some sense or other a cross bearer. There are things that you undertake, things that you put up with, things that you endure for Jesus' sake, because you have been commanded, compelled to take up discipleship as a cross bearer of the Lord Jesus. And so to love the cross, to believe in the cross, and to trust in the work of the cross calls every one of us here to be cross bearers for the Lord Jesus. You cannot divorce yourself from the saving work of the Lord on that cross from your daily walk as a cross bearer for Jesus' sake. And so I want to sum up this great theme today in three ways. Firstly, I want you to think with me on what this cross-bearing did for Christ, and then what it did for Simon. And then I want to get to what it does for us as believers in the Lord Jesus. What Simon's cross-bearing did for Jesus. As you see that lonely figure loaded up with the lumber of the cross, and you see the Lord Jesus stagger and drag himself back to his feet again and again and again, you come to the conclusion that cross is too heavy for a mere man, a weakened man. The going is so slow. The crowd is wild and pitiless. They are angry out of their prejudice, and no doubt the Roman soldiers are impatient. And the risk is that that human body, so frail, will faint or even die en route. But this man must die on a cross. That's the execution warrant. That's how the Jews wanted it. And we know from the gospel that's how God wanted it, because he that hangs on a tree is cursed. And our Lord Jesus, to be the Savior of the world, to be your Savior and mine, needed to die on a tree. Now, what does this tell us then? That they had to take this man, Simon of Cyrene, standing on the sidelines, and drag him out to bear the cross for the Lord Jesus. Well, it tells us that our Lord Jesus was a real man. He was not some superman. He was not some half angel, half man. He was every bit man. And with all the torment and suffering that he endured, the Roman flagellation that he underwent the night before, the loss of blood that he suffered, his body drained and exhausted, he was just mere man under the weight of that cross. Roman flagellation, by the way, was the art of using whips of metal and bone to take a man to the edge of death and back again, and then to the edge of death and back again. And so the work of Roman torment was to take that victim through untold suffering and yet keep him alive. And Jesus was greatly weakened under the weight of that cross. What does it tell us? that the Lord Jesus truly knows our infirmities. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our limitations. And you might say, why do I have to bear these things? Why do I have to go through these torments in my life? But remember, Jesus, as the high priest of our profession, as the succorer, as Paul puts it in Hebrews 2, as the sympathizing Savior, he knows what suffering is. Suffering beyond what we have ever endured. And he can truly comfort and sustain your heart and your faith in the midst of trial. So it tells us Jesus was human, and it also shows us his great humiliation. Think of the stigma, the reproach of our Lord under the weight of that cross, unable to carry it, falling in the dirt and dust, his open wounds filling up with grime and dirt as he stumbles under the cross to the point where they will not trust him any further to bear the cross. It shows you the deep, deep humiliation of the Lord Jesus. And he carried it alone to that point. Where was Peter? Where's the one who said, I will never deny thee? I will never run in the face of death. Where was John, the beloved disciple, who laid on Jesus' breast so often? Where was he now? No, our Lord Jesus was a lonely figure as he bore that cross out through those streets. And Simon of Cyrene, he was a stranger, probably never met. He had no interest in Jesus, no part in his ministry. And yet, he was chosen to carry the cross. All of this to magnify the loneliness, the humiliation of the Lord Jesus. And to think also of how our Lord was despised. He called himself God. He said he was the Son of Man. But he can't even carry a Roman gibbet, a piece of wood. This tells us how low our Lord stooped, that he might be your Savior and mine. And I don't want you to miss this as we come to the communion today. I don't want you to miss that as you take that cup and bread and you think of the crucifixion, the death of our Lord Jesus, what he suffered. He came from the heights of glory, took upon himself the form of a man, became a servant to no reputation, to no reputation, despised, rejected of men, hated, prejudiced of men. And for you, don't forget this, for you, that you would have your sins washed away, that your sins would be laid on Jesus, and he would suffer in your place. Another thing that this teaches us about Christ is that he carried that cross part way. And therein he filled the type of the Old Testament. You remember the story of Abram and Isaac going up Mount Moriah, and Isaac bore the weight of the wood. There was the biblical picture, the type of the going to sacrifice. Abram leading the way with the fire and the knife, but Isaac bearing his own wood. The Lord Jesus fulfilled that because he did carry that cross at least part way. He did bear the role of bearing his own cross. And again, I want you to meditate on that. I want you to dwell on that as we come to participate in this communion table. Now, secondly, what did this cross-bearing do for Simon? It made him a type of every cross-bearer for Jesus. There's a wonderful story of a minister called Simeon. Simeon, the Reverend C. Simeon. I don't have his first name, just his initial. And he, in conversation with a friend, he shared with him that many years before at university, he came under awful reproach and opposition from his peers and his friends, and he was greatly afflicted. And so he prayed and he asked God to minister to his heart and comfort him. And he went out walking in the grounds of the university and he took his little Bible. And the first place that he opened the Bible was right here, this man, Simon of Cyrene, bearing the cross for the Lord Jesus. And of course, his name was Simeon, similar name. He was reading of a Simon bearing the cross and realized that he was called as a Christian in this life to bear the cross of the Lord Jesus. Now, Mark in his gospel tells us that they compelled Simon of Cyrene. They just dragged him into this work to carry the cross. Now, the word compelled is really a Persian word, and it was used whenever the post office would commandeer horses and chariots to deliver the mail. You can understand great distances by horseback, and dispatches would exhaust a horse, and he would have the authority to get off his worn-out horse and commandeer any horse in the village or town and pursue on in his dash to deliver the meal. This is how Simon was compelled. Dragged out. The Roman soldier could lay his hands on anyone and take him and make him to be a cross bearer. But think of what it did for Simon. Well, we note that it led him to behold the suffering Savior. Mark says that he would have passed by. This man had no business with Jesus that day. He had no interest in these crucifixions. He was on his route. He was coming in out of the country, the Gospels tell us. And now he is commandeered. He's placed there to bear this cross and carry it out to Calvary. What a strange providence that Simon was chosen for that task. But isn't this always the way that God works? Is there anyone that would take up bearing the cross for the Lord Jesus if they were left to themselves? Is it not true that you and I at some point were compelled to become cross bearers, to take up the cross of the Lord Jesus? We felt the load of our sin. We understood that we were lost sinners and we needed that cross. The only way to heaven, the only way of mercy, was the way of the cross, and we felt compelled. We were drawn to take up that very cross of the Lord Jesus. And that is what makes every man a Christian. You're not a Christian until you are a cross bearer, until you are identified with, and that you plead the very work of the Lord's death and blood and suffering at Calvary. Thank you for joining with us here on the air today as we bring to you the message of the Bible from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, British Columbia. An unbelieving doctor said to a minister, "I believe only in what my five senses reveal to me. I have never seen, heard, tasted, smelled, or felt a soul. That's why I don't believe in the existence of a soul." Said the minister, "You have never seen, heard, tasted, or smelled a pain, but you have felt a pain." "That is true," said the doctor. "I have felt a pain, and I have treated thousands of people who have." Then the minister continued, "I have not heard, seen, tasted, or smelled a soul, but there have been times without count that I have felt a soul. As I have listened to the music of the masters, and looked upon a setting sun or an autumnal forest, and thought upon the deeds of heroism of patriots, or the fortitude and sacrifice of some mother or father, or of the flawless, selfless life and vicarious death of the Savior for the sin of the world. And of course, the Lord Jesus came into the world and he said, fear not him that is able to destroy the body, but fear him that is able to destroy body and soul. And the very fact that Jesus spoke of a soul, he spoke of heaven and of hell, he spoke of the need to be born again or to be born from above, and he gave credit to the whole creation account of God. We know that there man is made in the image of God. He is not made after the animal creation, but he is made in God's likeness with an ability to worship God in true holiness and righteousness. And so let us begin with the very first ABC of the gospel, that we have a soul and we will live for all eternity. Therefore, we need to be saved and reconciled to God. And I trust that today that you will give your heart to the Lord. It is important, it is vital that you are reconciled to God and saved through the cross work of the Lord Jesus. And my prayer is that at this very Easter season that you will turn away from your sin and give your heart to the Lord, that he will come in and save your soul, and that you will be a child of God. If I can be of personal help, be in touch with me. Now, the announcement coming up, just stay tuned. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today, and you are listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I truly hope that you're blessed each time that you tune into our programs on this station, and my prayer is that God will use his word to bring precious souls to personal faith in the gospel. We want this to be God's means to building his church and blessing his people. Our burden is to get the gospel out according to the Great Commission, where the Lord has sent his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So we don't get too political or too hung up on pressing trends, but seek to preach Christ in all his fullness for men in all their need. Our message is based on the great Reformation sola doctrines of salvation by Christ alone, by faith alone, by grace alone, based on the Bible alone, for the glory of God alone. And you can understand that radio ministry is very much a ministry of faith, as we air programs not knowing who is listening. We therefore need your feedback and comments. You can find us on Facebook at Let the Bible Speak Canada, and there leave us a comment. You can go to our website, ltbs.ca, and send us an email. Or probably best of all, go to our phone number, 604-897-2040, and I will personally take your call. And of course, if you have pastoral needs, I will gladly talk and pray with you. So please get in touch, and we need to know that you're listening and truly benefiting from this ministry on your station at this time. So please go to our church website, ltbs.ca, for all the information. And may the Lord bless you until the next time we let the Bible speak.